was killed yesterday and he went to school today?
Yeah, I thought that was odd, too. But then again, if he and his stepmother don't get along, he might not want to be there with her. And maybe he thinks if he sticks to his routine, he won't have to think too much about his dad never coming back.
I guess everybody handles grief differently, said Sean.
I guess they do. And he's just a kid.
Exactly when does he want to meet?
He gets out at 3:15. He has swim practice starting at 4:30. He can meet with us in between.
Sean chuckled. Michelle pulled her car keys from her fanny pack.
What's so funny?
I was just afraid we were going to have to do a confidential client meeting on the playground during recess.
He's in high school, not kindergarten. And they don't do recess anymore.
My apologies. But I just don't see this going anywhere.
At the very least, we can return his gun. Although it's probably not a good idea to pass him a weapon while he's on school grounds. Maybe we can meet him someplace else.
Which high school, he asked. She told him. We drove past there last night. There's a strip mall across the street with a Panera Cafe. Call him back and tell him we'll meet him there.
I won't call. I'll just text. That's what kids do these days.
However you want to do it.
You're not into this case, are you?
There is no case.
There might be a case, depending on what we find out.
You're just not letting this go, are you?
I really don't know why this has gotten a hold of me, but it has, and I have to do it. Okay?
Fine. In for a dime, in for a dollar.
Now you sound really old.
Our new client is barely past puberty. Of course I feel old. She nudged his shoulder with her hand.
Thanks for indulging me.
What I live for, he replied, but you have to promise me. If there's nothing to this case, and I can tell you right now that there isn't, you will drop it and we go on vacation. I want your word.
You have my word. If there is nothing to the case, we go to New Zealand and I'll wear a bikini. But you have to wear a Speedo.
He said, that would not do wonders for New Zealand's tourism business. But what he was really thinking was, I'm just thrilled that I'm not grieving about losing you. Chapter 8. Tyler met them at the Panera Cafe across from the high school. He was dressed in the school's uniform of khaki pants, a black polo shirt with the school's official insignia on it, and black shoes.
You drink coffee?
Michelle asked him as they walked together into the Panera. I'll just get some water, said Tyler. You don't get enough in the pool? Asked Sean in a joking manner. Tyler didn't seem to hear him. He just trudged on. Sean and Michelle purchased coffees while Tyler bought his own bottle of water, declining their offer to purchase it for him. They sat at a table near the back. The only other people in the cafe were students with laptops and two moms with young kids in strollers. One pretty brunette about Tyler's age waved at him. He self-consciously waved back before turning to Sean and Michelle. I want to hire you guys. Sean sat back and folded his arms over his chest. So Michelle told me. Why? I already told her, replied Tyler, to find out about my dad. And you're saying the army didn't tell you how he died? No, they said he was shot. Okay. It happened in Afghanistan, right? That's what they said. And you don't believe that? Asked Sean. I guess I do. I mean, I don't know. Sean said, okay, so we're not in Afghanistan, Tyler. We have no realistic way to get to Afghanistan in order to look over the Army's shoulder on this. No jurisdiction, no resources, zip. Tyler swallowed a mouthful of water and took his time responding. But you're private investigators. Don't you guys have ways of finding stuff out? I mean, that's sort of the point of what you do, right?
Yes, it is,
said Michelle, leaning in closer. She glanced once at Sean and said to Tyler,
first things first, what's your dad's name?
Samuel, but everybody calls him Sam.
What exactly did the Army tell you about your dad?
They said he was with his squad in Kandahar. He was out on patrol at night and someone shot him. That someone being the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, an Afghan soldier turned traitor? Prompted Sean. They said they didn't know. Whoever shot him got away, they said. But they're looking for the person. Sean nodded slowly. Unfortunately, that happens on a battlefield, Tyler. I'm sure the army will do all it can to find out who killed your dad and make sure they're punished.
When do his remains arrive at Dover Air Force Base?
Asked Michelle. Tyler shook his head. They didn't talk about that. Michelle frowned.
But all the bodies of slain servicemen come through Dover. The army normally allows the family members to go up there when the remains arrive, and then you can have the burial take place at Arlington National Cemetery. All soldiers killed in combat get that honor.
Sean stared at her strangely. How do you know all that?
I did some quick research last night.
Sean scowled and said in a low voice, Before or after your relaxing bath? Tyler was shaking his head. They didn't say anything about Dover. Sean said, Well, maybe those details come later. Your mom... Tyler glanced sharply at him. Sean continued, Sorry. Your stepmom said that the army was sending more people. Maybe they have that information. Have you talked to her about it? No. I leave early for school. She's always still in bed, he added reproachfully. Sean looked at him closely. I'm surprised you made it to school today, Tyler. Must have been tough after last night. He shrugged and mumbled something that was too low for either Sean or Michelle to hear. Sean said, Well, maybe you should give your stepmom a buzz and find out. Go ahead and do it while we're here. Instead of calling, Tyler thumbed in a text and sent it off. Sean glanced at Michelle. A tiny smile crept across her face. She mouthed the words, I told you so. She's not going to answer, at least not for a while, said Tyler.
She doesn't keep her phone with her?
Oh, she does, but the text was from me, so it's not a priority. Michelle and Sean exchanged another glance. Okay, cutting to the chase. Do we have the evil stepmother syndrome going on here? Asked Sean. Tyler's face turned nearly as red as his hair. I'm not saying she's evil. She just doesn't have a clue. She's a lot younger than my dad. I don't know why he even married her.
What happened to your mom?
Asked Michelle gently. Tyler fiddled with the label on his water bottle, peeling it off and piling the scraps of paper on the table in front of him. She got sick and died 4 years ago.
I'm sorry.
How long ago did your dad remarry? Asked Sean. What does that matter? Tyler blurted out. I just want to find out what happened to him. This other stuff is just crap. It has nothing to do with anything. He had raised his voice, and the pretty brunette glanced over with a worried look. Tyler caught her eye, looked embarrassed, and stared down at the paper pile in front of him. Michelle put a hand on his shoulder.
I know this is really hard, Tyler. I lost a parent unexpectedly, too. But the more we know about things, the more ideas we can come up with. That's why we're asking these questions that don't seem important right now. On a case, you don't know what will end up being important or not. You can see that, right?
Tyler licked his chapped lips and took another swig of water. They got married about a year ago. They didn't have a wedding. They went to a judge or something. My dad didn't even tell me until it was over. I didn't even really know her. And they hadn't been seeing each other very long, and she's like 15 years younger than him. It was weird. I can see why that might make things awkward, commented Sean. Yeah, said Tyler, like real awkward. Michelle said,
Was your dad career army?
Tyler shook his head. He was in the army for a long time, then he went into the reserves. Then he got called up. He'd been over there twice before on deployment when he was regular army. Then he came back home. I thought he was going to stay home for good, but he had to go back again as a reservist. Sean took out a small notebook and started jotting some things down. Michelle gave him a grateful look. How old was your father? He asked. 45. It's tough to make a transition back into combat at that age. I guess for some guys, but my dad is really jacked. He ran and lifted weights, and he knows karate, too. He's like a triple black belt, and he would swim with me. It got to the point where he couldn't really keep up with me, but he was tons better than most guys his age. He even did some triathlons. Sean said, I doubt I could do one lap in the pool. Sounds like your dad was really an Iron Man. Yeah, he is. Tyler bit his lower lip and his eyes glimmered. Sean asked quickly, what did he do before he was called up? He worked at a company called DTI in Reston. He was a salesman. Nothing real exciting. What was your dad's position in the Army? He's a sergeant. You sure? Tyler drew out an envelope from his backpack. I wrote some stuff down. His unit when he deployed, stuff like that. He handed it to Michelle. She said, smiling,
very perceptive of you. I wish all our clients were as prepared as you.
So, will you guys look into it for me? I don't know how much you charge, but I can pay you. I got money and an account my dad set up for me. And I worked my butt off during the summer as a lifeguard. Saved up nearly $1,000.
That's great, Tyler. We can go into those details later.
So you just want to know more about his death? Asked Sean. Well, yeah. The thing is, Tyler, the Army will give you all of that. You don't need us. And I don't want to take your money to find out information you're going to get for free. Tyler rubbed at his eyes and didn't answer. Sean sipped his coffee and waited, choosing not to break the silence. He gave a knowing look to Michelle and inclined his head at Tyler. Michelle touched Tyler's arm.
Is there something else, something you haven't told us that's troubling you?
Tyler started to say something, but then shrugged and looked at his watch. I need to get going. We take a bus to the pool when we practice. I can't be late.
What do you swim?
50 free and the 200 medley. I'm not that good. I mean, there are guys on the team a lot better than me. He added, do you swim?
I prefer to keep just above the water and dry.
So, you guys will work for me? Said Tyler hesitantly. Sean started to say something, but Michelle said,
we'll make inquiries, report back, and go from there, okay?
Yeah, okay, said Tyler, sounding a little disappointed. He got up and walked out in a slouch, his backpack dangling off one shoulder. Sean looked at Michelle. Something is off here.
Glad you're finally coming around to that.
I mean, the kid was a shambles last night, running around in a storm with a gun, half out of his mind. And then he goes to school and sits here talking to us about his father's death like it's a business transaction. Where was the emotion? Where were the tears?
Girls cry a lot more easily than boys, Sean.
Not girls like you.
I have four older brothers. I was never officially a girl.
She paused and stared after Tyler.
But I get what you mean.
So what inquiries are you planning?
Got any contacts at the Pentagon?
Couple. Michelle held up the envelope.
Well, let's take a look at these notes and then see what we can do.
And if all we can do is confirm what the Army has already told him?
Then that will have to be enough. But I don't think it'll play out like that.
Why not?
That kid is holding something back, Sean. Something that is scaring him.
Soldiers die all the time, Michelle. And their next of kin get notified. It's standard procedure.
Well, this might just prove to be the exception to the standard, but there's something else.
What?
You referred to his dad in the past tense. Tyler answered, but he spoke about his dad in the present tense as though he were still alive.
Wishful thinking, maybe?
He didn't strike me as the type.
Sean sighed. Okay, we'll do what we can. But just remember our deal about New Zealand.
Don't worry. I ordered your Speedo online this morning.
Chapter 9. The next day, Sean put down the phone and stared at his desk. He was alone in the Spartan offices of King and Maxwell, private investigation. Michelle's desk abutted his. His desktop was pristine, everything in its place and items lined up precisely. He looked across at Michelle's desk and frowned. It looked like someone had dumped a box of junk on it and then rifled through, spreading the debris around even more. I really don't know how she finds anything, he muttered darkly.
Having another OCD fantasy about my desk?
He looked up at the doorway. Michelle stood there holding two coffees, a folded newspaper under her arm. I'm that easy to read? He asked innocently.
We'll be finishing each other's sentences before long, and we're not even married.
In some ways, we're more married than married people. She handed him one of the coffees, laid the newspaper on her desk, and sat down across from him.
So did you reach your contacts at the Pentagon?
Sean nodded. Just got off with one, in fact.
And?
Sean leaned back in his chair and studied the computer screen in front of him. And what I thought was straightforward is turning out not to be. Michelle sipped her coffee and fought back a shiver. The forecast called for a chilly rain or even possibly snow. And the sky looked like it would deliver on that forecast any minute.
Meaning what?
I emailed him the name Sam Wingo, along with the particulars that Tyler gave us about his squad, rank, and so forth. I figured I'd give my contact some time to look into it, and that when I called, he'd have all the answers.
But he didn't.
No. In fact, he had no answers.
Did he say why?
He put it off on notification of next of kin, privacy policies, and things like that. Only I told him the next of kin had been notified.
What did he say to that?
Only that he could not go into it further.
Could not or would not?
Does it matter?
Did he confirm that Sam Wingo was dead, at least?
No, he didn't.
Okay, that's officially weird.
It could just be that they're reluctant to release information about a KIA, Michelle. It's a pretty sensitive situation. They don't want to be accused of giving out the information to just anybody. Michelle picked up the newspaper and opened it to a page in the front section.
I'm not sure that's a valid excuse. Have a look.
She handed the paper over to Sean, who glanced down at it. It was a photo page of casualties in the Middle East wars.
Fourth row, fifth photo over.
Sean looked there and read, Samuel Wingo, age 45, Sergeant First Class, part of a battalion out of the 82nd Division from Fort Bragg. Killed by small arms fire in the Kandahar province.
Pretty much everything Tyler told us.
Meaning everything they told him.
So you're having doubts, too.
Don't read too much into this. It could still be nothing.
They printed his picture, his name, and his rank in the paper, along with the fact that he's dead. So how confidential can it be? They wouldn't even confirm to you that he's dead, but all the readers of the Washington Post know that he is. How exactly does that make sense?
At one level, maybe it doesn't, he said. But keep in mind that they've had thousands of casualties over there. My contact might not have even known that was printed in the paper today. The Pentagon is a pretty big organism.
Okay, but I know that Tyler was holding something back from us.
So how do you want to proceed?
We told Tyler we would check into it and report back. We checked into it, and now we're reporting back.
We have nothing to report, Michelle, unless you count abject failure.
We have to get him to open up. Maybe it'll be better if I go alone.
To his house with a wicked stepmother there? She might not let you in. Michelle held up her phone.
I'll text him and arrange to meet him at the same place before swim practice.
You're really going out on a limb with this, Michelle.
He's a kid who lost his dad. He needs help, Sean.
I'm not saying don't do it. Just be careful.
I don't consider Tyler Wingo dangerous.
I'm not necessarily talking about him. She glanced out the window.
They're calling for snow today.
Great. Washington drivers have a hard enough time driving in the sunshine.
While I'm with Tyler, why don't you try another angle on the Pentagon?
I'll see what I can do, but those guys usually close ranks pretty fast. He shot a reproachful glance at her messy desk. Come on, Michelle. Can't you do something about that crap? Even a symbolic gesture would be appreciated. She smiled brightly, picked up a single piece of paper amid the mounds of it, and dropped it into the trash can next to her desk.
Feel better?
It's a start. Later that afternoon, Michelle pulled into the parking lot next to the Panera, cut her engine, and stared across the street at the high school where Tyler was a student. It was a relatively new school, but was still probably bursting at the seams with students. The Washington area just couldn't seem to keep up with the population growth. She slipped the page out of her jacket. It was the Washington Post article with Sam Wingo's picture. He was a good-looking man, she thought. Ruggedly handsome, strong features, intense eyes. His face stamped with the years. He looked a little like Sean, she realized. By comparison, most of the other faces of the dead on the page were tragically young. They had barely had a chance to live their lives, and now there were no more chances left to them. She checked her watch. At 3:16 on the dot, she saw Tyler Wingo emerge from a door at the school and start to walk in her direction. The chilly rain had turned into light snow. In deference to the weather, Tyler wore a hoodie. She climbed out of her truck when Tyler passed by.
"Hey,"
she said. He turned and spotted her. "Where's your partner?"
"Following up some other leads."
They walked into the Panera together. The place was busier than last time. Michelle figured that it would start to fill up even more since the school had let out. It really was a gold mine. Having a coffee shop with a pretty full food menu located across from a high school and perpetually hungry teens. This time they both got bottles of water. Michelle added a muffin.
"Haven't really eaten today,"
she explained. They took seats at a table in the rear. Michelle opened her bottle, took a drink, and then attacked her muffin. "So what did you find out?" Tyler asked.
"You saw the newspaper today?"
"No."
"Sorry, I guess teenagers don't read print media anymore. Anyway, your dad's picture was in it."
She pulled out the page and slid it across to him.
"Just for positive ID."
Tyler glanced down at the page and then looked away. "That's him.
Small arms fire with his unit in Kandahar."
"Yeah."
"Hi, Tyler."
They both glanced up. It was the same pretty brunette from yesterday. She looked from Michelle back to Tyler and then down at the page.
"I'm really sorry about your dad,"
she said. She was barely 5'2", with soft brown eyes. "Thanks," said Tyler, not meeting her gaze.
"Michelle Maxwell,"
said Michelle, putting out her hand. The girl took it.
"I'm Kathleen Burnett, but I go by Kathy. Are you in class with Tyler?"
"Yes, she is," interjected Tyler. "We were just meeting on some stuff, Kathy," he added in obvious embarrassment. "About my dad."
"Oh, I'm sorry, Tyler. I'll talk to you later."
She hurried off. Michelle watched her go.
"She's really cute."
"I guess."
"You're friends?"
"We're in some classes together."
"She was here yesterday before us, even though you came over right after school ended. How come?"
"She's really smart. Skipped a grade and everything. And she doesn't have a last period class. She gets out early."
"Nice to be smart, but she also seems to care about you."
Tyler was now staring at the page of photos. Michelle folded it up and slipped it back into her pocket.
"Does she care about you, Tyler?"
He shrugged. "I don't know. Why?"
"It's good to have people who care, that's all. Especially during times like this."
"So, what did you find out?"
"Nothing more than you saw in the newspaper. The Pentagon apparently does not want to talk about your dad. I wonder why."
"I guess they have their reasons." He hesitated. "So how much do I owe you?" Michelle gazed blankly at him.
"Why do I detect finality with that question?"
Tyler looked up. "What?"
"You just hired us, and now it sounds like you want to fire us."
"I'm not firing you."
"Okay. That's good to know. I came here to ask you something, so let me just get to it."
She leaned in closer.
"What aren't you telling us?"
"You asked me that before."
"And you didn't answer me. And just so you know, I'm the sort of person that when I don't get an answer, I keep asking until I do."
"I've told you everything."
"Your voice says you have, but your face says otherwise. I was a Secret Service agent. We read faces like nobody else, Tyler."
He immediately looked away from her. She sat back, folded her arms over her chest.
Okay. Is that how it's going to be?
Tyler stared down at his hands.
You could have saved me a trip here, you know. I do have other things to work on.
He let out a long breath. I'm sorry. It's just... I mean, I guess I was just being stupid. My dad's dead. Nothing you could do would bring him back, right?
No, Tyler. There's nothing we can do about that.
And I was thinking about things last night, and I guess... He faltered here and looked so miserable that Michelle's heart went out to him.
Tyler, if you want us to stand down, I'm okay with that. It's your decision. Don't beat yourself up over it. You have enough to deal with as it is.
I guess that's what I want. I mean, for you to, like, you know, stand down, like you said.
You're sure?
He nodded. So, how much do I owe you? I brought some cash with me.
Consultations are free, so you can keep your wallet in your pocket.
You sure?
Are you?
He wouldn't look at her. I gotta go now.
Right. Swim practice.
He rose. Michelle said,
Oh, we need to bring your dad's gun back to you. I didn't want to do it here because having a gun on school grounds would be pretty bad. We can drop it by your house tonight. You going to be home?
Tyler looked nervously at her. I'm not sure. I might have stuff tonight.
No problem. We can just drop it off with your stepmom. That okay with you?
Tyler turned and fled. He looked back twice at Michelle before he even got to the front door, and the distance in between was not that great. Michelle sat there for a bit wondering one thing. Who had gotten to Tyler Wingo? Chapter 10. The snow was coming down harder when Michelle stepped out of the Panera. As a Secret Service agent, she had spent years dissecting the physical world into discrete grids as part of her security matrix, looking for danger in all the right places. Though she had been out of the service for a while now, that instinct still rode with her. It probably would forever. And right now, her antennae were quivering. The parking lot was half full, which still constituted a great many cars because the lot was a large one. Yet there was only one vehicle that drew her attention. She stared across at it. Government plates. One silhouette inside, motor off, and the driver had been there a while because the sedan was covered in snow. And no one had gotten out of the car because there were no footprints in the snow around it. This was a strip mall where one made quick stops in and out and on one's way. Yet this driver had pulled in, cut the engine, and sat there in the freezing cold waiting for something. Or someone. Maybe me. She walked to her truck, climbed in, and started it up. Without appearing to do so, she was watching the government sedan. The silhouette had not moved. She was considering whether she had been wrong in her deductions when the situation's status abruptly changed. The silhouette transformed into a man with wide shoulders and military cropped hair, wearing a long dark overcoat and regulation black shoes. His military rank rode on the sleeves of the overcoat in the form of pinned-on bars. Bars, not stars, but then again, Michelle hadn't expected them to send out a general to grapple with her. When the man drew close, she rolled down her window.
You must have been cold sitting in the car all that time. Want to jump in and get warm?
In response, he showed her his credentials.
Captain Aubrey Jones, Military Police.
Michelle read off the ID card.
What can I do for you?
Jones said, You're meeting with Tyler Wingo?
If you say so.
Why?
That's confidential.
I understand that you're a private investigator.
Again, if you say so. But if I am, and if I was meeting with him, you can understand why I can't reveal confidences.
Wingo is a minor. He can't be your client.
On the contrary, yes, he can.
Why would he need a PI?
Could be lots of reasons. Why does it matter to you?
He just lost his father.
I'm well aware of that.
He's vulnerable and scared, and the army does not want to see him taken advantage of. Did you ask for money from him?
So you think I'm shaking down a grieving teenager for cash?
Are you?
Yeah, that's how I make my living. I look up dead soldiers in the newspaper and then arrange to meet with their crushed kids so I can get rich, $1 bill at a time.
She paused.
How likely does that sound?
We know that you were formerly with the Secret Service, but were asked to leave.
Actually, I was offered full reinstatement, but chose to voluntarily resign instead. And that's ancient history.
You and your partner have been involved in some high-level cases. Serial killers, CIA, national security.
Stop. You'll make me blush.
Jones drew closer and leaned in so that his head and shoulders nearly filled the window. We are politely asking that you stay away from the Wingos. They're going through a lot right now. They don't need this sort of distraction.
So how were you made aware of our involvement?
The Army has lots of resources.
Do you do this for all the families that have lost service members?
No, just for the ones who have people like you trying to mess with their lives at a particularly tragic point. Fortunately, not that many stoop so low.
That's your opinion, and for the record, it's the wrong one.
Michelle said firmly. His father was KIA. He was notified of that fact. I don't know what he asked you to do, but whatever it was, you shouldn't have accepted. In my book, you're just taking advantage of a heartbroken boy. Maybe you're doing it to make a few bucks and scoring some points somehow with someone. Maybe you're doing it because you feel sorry for him. I don't know, and I don't really care. But what I do care about is that you leave his family alone so they can grieve properly and get through this in one piece. He paused and said, "Did I deliver the message clearly, Ms. Maxwell?"
"Crystal clear, Captain Jones."
He spun on his heel and walked back to his sedan. 10 seconds later, he was gone. Michelle sat in her truck, tapping the steering wheel with her fingers as she thought this through. Military police watching. Military police delivering a message. Stay away from the Wingos. They must have already talked to Tyler. Perhaps they were monitoring his phone, saw the meeting set up, and went directly to him. That would explain his sudden decision to have her and Sean stand down. She called Sean and told him what had just happened. "What do you think?" he said.
Jones sounded legit, but maybe all they told him was what he needed to know to deliver the message, loud and clear.
"Well, coupled with the stone wall I got at the Pentagon, I'm coming down on the side of this starting to look really suspicious. The question now is, what do we do about it?"
"We still have the German Mauser to take back."
"Michelle, they'll be watching the Wingo's house. They see us pull up. The next visit we get will not be from an MP delivering a polite, if tough, message."
"It's not like they're going to waterboard us, Sean."
"There are worse things than waterboarding."
"Name one."
"Maiming? Death?"
"Come on, this is our government we're talking about, and I can't leave it like this. And I don't think you can either. Tyler is holding something back. I really believe he needs our help, but he's been warned off too. I doubt even the Army can afford to have its personnel wait in snowy parking lots to dress down somebody they think might be taking advantage of a slain service member's family."
"I know. Something is off, way off."
"But you're right about the Army fence around the Wingos now. We go there, it won't be pleasant. So what other angle can we attack this thing from?"
"Well, if we can't get to Tyler right now, we can dig into his dad's background. Tyler said he worked at a company called DTI in Reston. We can start there."
"But if we go there, the Army will probably find out."
"We don't have to go there. There's this thing called the Internet. It has lots of information you can access from a computer. Maybe you've heard of it."
"Okay. You go tap your little keys. I'm going to do some real detective work."
Michelle was staring back up at the Panera. He said, "Like what?" "I don't want you to go off half-cocked. Finesse is needed here, not the charge of the Light Brigade. And didn't they get wiped out to a man?"
"Man being the operative word. If they had been led by a woman, that slaughter never would have happened."
"So what are you going to do?"
"Talk to one teenager about another teenager, female to female."
Michelle clicked off. climbed back out into the snow, and headed into the Panera once more. She was going to find out how much Kathy Burnett really cared about Tyler Wingo. Chapter 11.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy Burnett looked up from her computer to find Michelle staring down at her. She was holding a cup of coffee in a tray on which sat a bowl of soup and a roll.
Oh, hi. Mind if I join you?
Kathy glanced around.
I thought you and Tyler had gone. He did, to swim practice. And I was thinking of leaving, but I thought I'd see what the snow was going to do. And then I decided a cup of coffee and a bowl of soup were calling my name.
Michelle sat down across from her and took a few seconds to situate her coffee and her soup while Kathy pulled her laptop and backpack out of the way.
Thanks,
said Michelle. She took a spoonful of soup and smiled.
Not many things better than soup on a cold, snowy day. I guess not,
said Kathy, smiling awkwardly. Michelle looked at her computer.
I hope I'm not interrupting homework. No, it's okay. This stuff isn't due for another week. I'm just trying to get a jump on it.
She closed her laptop and looked questioningly at Michelle.
So you were meeting with Tyler about his dad?
Michelle dipped a chunk of bread into the soup and took a bite. She nodded, swallowed, and said,
It's really tragic. Nothing worse for a kid than losing a parent, especially like that. Are you with the army? No, I wasn't helping Tyler with that, just some other things. He said you two were in a few classes together. He also said you were really smart and had skipped a grade. He said that?
Kathy asked as a smile spread across her face. Michelle took a sip of coffee and nodded slowly.
Yes, he did. He's a straight-A student, too, really smart. But he doesn't brag about it like some of the other people do. He's just sort of quiet. I take it you two are good friends? We've known each other since elementary school. Friends are important right now for Tyler. I'm sure you can see that. Yeah, I guess so,
she said somberly.
Did you know his dad? He and Tyler have been to our house for dinner quite a few times, and he picked me and Tyler up from school a few times. He was always really nice. I knew he'd been deployed overseas. My mom was over there 2 years ago. She's back now, and I hope she never has to leave again. Your mom in the Army, too? Air Force. She's a pilot. That's pretty cool, Kathy. I'm really proud of her. She can fly anything. I've been up with her in a Cessna. She did some things that made my stomach do flip-flops, but it never fazed her. I'm sure.
Michelle took another swallow of soup.
I guess everyone at school knows about Tyler's dad. They made an announcement today. Everybody was so sad, but I think Tyler was really embarrassed by it. So, if you've known Tyler since elementary school, I guess you knew his mom?
Kathy nodded.
I did. That was tragic, too.
Yeah, considering how old Tyler was when she died, she must have been very young.
She was.
Did she die of cancer?
Kathy looked startled.
Is that what Tyler told you?
No, he didn't say, but judging by your look, I'm guessing that's not what she died of.
Look, if Tyler didn't tell you, I don't think I should. He must have had a reason.
Well, frankly, I don't think Tyler is thinking all that clearly right now. So she didn't die from an illness.
Well, I guess you could call it an illness.
I'm not following,
said Michelle.
Mental illness? Depression?
Kathy paused.
Mrs. Wingo killed herself.
Michelle took another spoonful of soup. She wasn't particularly hungry, but she also wanted a few beats of time to digest this and decide how best to proceed.
My God.
She finally said,
His mom killed herself and now his dad dies in combat.
I know,
said Kathy, her voice starting to tremble.
I feel so bad for him.
But at least he has his stepmom.
Michelle threw out. Kathy frowned.
I'm not sure how good that is for Tyler.
Michelle nodded thoughtfully.
He never came out and said, but I could tell he doesn't really get along with her.
Why should he?
Kathy said, her voice rising.
I mean, Mr. Wingo goes off and gets married to a woman a lot younger than he was, and they hadn't even known each other that long. Tyler didn't know her at all, really. And did he tell you they got married by a judge? There wasn't even a wedding. They just showed up at the house one day and they were married. Tyler was so upset.
And his dad never explained to him why he did that?
Not that Tyler ever told me.
Kathy stopped and stared at Michelle.
You never said what you were helping Tyler with.
Michelle took out a business card and slid it across to Kathy. She looked down at it, and her eyes widened.
What does Tyler need with a detective?
Answers. That's why most people hire detectives.
Answers to what?
I'm not sure he knows yet, Kathy. Tyler told me that his dad was in the reserves now, but he'd been in the regular army as well.
I remember when I was in second grade, Mr. Wingo came to our class and spoke about serving our country. He was in uniform then. He told my mom about it, and she came in and spoke to us, too.
So your parents knew him well?
My mom knew him pretty well because of the military connection. And like I said, they came over for dinner quite a few times after Tyler's mom died. And we'd bring care packages over. And Tyler sometimes stayed with us. He's a good cook. He even taught my mom a few dishes to make.
You live near each other?
Not in the same neighborhood, but it's only 5 minutes by car.
She brightened.
Tyler has his permit, but he gets his real license soon. He was talking about us driving to school together sometimes.
He's a year older than you.
That's right. I'll be 16 next month. He turns 17 in May.
He ever talked to you about something troubling him?
I haven't really spoken to him since his dad died, if that's what you mean.
Before that, was everything okay with him?
Seemed to be. I mean, he and his stepmom didn't get along.
How about his dad? Anger still there over his dad getting remarried?
There was, but I think Tyler had finally just accepted it. He loved his dad, and he wouldn't stay mad at him long.
But now with him gone?
Yeah, now it's just him and his stepmom. Not good.
He have any other relatives in the area?
Not that he ever talked about.
Would you mind giving me a call if anything occurs to you that might help me help Tyler?
Like what?
Hard to say at this point, but you might know it when you see it.
He's not in any trouble, is he?
Any reason why he should be?
Asked Michelle.
No. He's a really good person.
That's what I think, too. And that's why I want to help him, if I can.
Kathy slipped the card into her coat pocket.
Maybe you'll hear from me.
Michelle said,
Fair enough.
Chapter 12. Michelle met Sean later that evening at a bar in Georgetown. They sat at a table near the window, and over beers tried to reconcile what they each had learned about the Wingo case.
Any blowback from the Pentagon?
Asked Michelle. Nothing like you got, he answered. But that's not to say tomorrow won't bring something. Suffice it to say, I don't think any of my other contacts there will be returning my calls anytime soon. Michelle took a sip of her beer and leaned in her chair. The snow had stopped falling and the temperatures had risen to a level sufficient to melt what had already accumulated.
So if we can't go see Tyler or his stepmother and the Pentagon is a stone wall, that leaves the dad's employer, DTI. You said you were going to do a web search on them.
I did. They're a government contractor.
Every other company located here is a government contractor. What sector are they in?
Providing translator services for the military.
I hear that's pretty lucrative.
It certainly can be, but it only goes as far as our engagement over there. They specialize in the Middle East, so if the military pulls out, they might be hurting.
And was Wingo a salesman, like Tyler said?
I never get a chance to actually ask a human being that question. He drank some of his beer. I think we've hit a dead end, Michelle. She inserted her finger in the long neck of her beer and swung it back and forth over the table.
I don't like to admit defeat.
And you think I do?
You're a miracle worker, Sean. You know everybody. Are you telling me you can't think of some other angle to hit this with?
I'm actually trying to decide whether this is worth it or not.
I thought we were past that analysis.
Maybe you were.
I might have an in through his friend, Kathy Burnett. I laid the groundwork with her already.
And you don't feel bad involving an innocent young girl in all this?
If I knew what all this was, maybe I would feel bad. Chicken and the egg.
I still don't like it.
I didn't ask her to spy on Tyler, Sean. I just asked her to contact me if she thought she had any information that might help him.
I'm not sure she's in the best position to make that decision.
Then I can tell her to stand down, if it'll make you happy.
The two sat there, staring stonily across at each other. Sean said, "Look, I'm not wussing out. I'm just not sure what we can accomplish."
Well, considering we've accomplished nothing so far, it wouldn't take much to move the bar up.
I can see we're not going to reach common ground on this.
I'm being as reasonable as I possibly can be.
Really? Because I'm not seeing that. She eyed him severely.
What's that supposed to mean?
He hunched forward. You barely know this Wingo kid, and it's like he's suddenly your little brother and all his problems are your problems. How is that reasonable? Michelle set her beer down and pointed her gaze out the window. Sean said, "You want to tell me what's really going on here, Michelle?"
You think it's wrong of me to want to help this kid?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's a little off. She turned to him.
I know what it's like to be a kid and scared, Sean. Him running through that storm, I saw the terror in his eyes.
She looked off.
And the gun.
She added quietly.
That could have been me running with that gun.
It wasn't you running with that gun, Michelle, he said firmly. She didn't appear to have heard him.
The only thing is he couldn't fire his. I did.
That was a long, long time ago, and you were what, 6?
6 or 16, what does it matter? It happened.
You know, it's not that simple, said Sean.
It took a whole lot of shrink work and time in a psych hospital and going back to the old homestead to even remember it. And even then, I can't fully understand it. And because I can't fully understand it, it scares the hell out of me.
So you're relating your experience as a kid to Tyler's situation now?
Maybe I am. Is that wrong?
I don't know if it is or not. But why put yourself through this? It's too much.
I wish I had an answer for you about that. I don't. Life isn't nearly as simple or perfect as we would like it to be.
Okay. Michelle shook her head as though clearing away perilous thoughts.
Look, you've always been there for me. Always. I have no right to involve you in something you don't want to be part of. It's not fair.
Actually, you have every right. Yeah. I've been there for you. But you've also been there for me and saved my life more than a few times. Sean finished his beer and drummed the table with his fingers. I have one more contact who might be able to help us.
But you said they'd close ranks on this.
My contact doesn't exactly conform to strict military protocols.
Who is it?
Sean hesitated and then said, "My ex-wife." Michelle gaped at him.
Your ex?
You knew I was married before.
Yeah, but you never talk about her.
Well, I don't like talking about her because there's a very compelling reason she's my ex-wife. And I'm not into self-flagellation.
I didn't know she was in the military.
Dana's not. Her current husband is. She got remarried about 8 years ago. He's a newly minted 2-star stationed at the Pentagon. Major General Curtis Brown.
I've heard that name.
He's a sometime spokesperson for the Pentagon. He looks like a general. Tall, handsome, and ramrod straight. Combat vet. Yet I'm very surprised he survived Dana. She's a real piece of work.
Did you go to the wedding?
What do you think? The only reason I knew was because I could finally stop paying alimony.
Did you ever meet General Brown?
Sean shook his head. If I did, I'd wish him luck. Dan is not exactly low maintenance.
It doesn't sound like she's someone you can call up and ask a favor of.
I can do anything if the motivation is right.
Meaning what?
Meaning that if you wanted me to, I would call up Dana and see what she could do for us. She might hang up on me. She might tell me to go to hell and then hang up on me. But it's the only path I can see right now. So you tell me. Is Tyler Wingo worth it?
That's not exactly fair, Sean. You're putting me on the spot here.
No, I'm just stating the reality of the situation. Michelle sighed and gazed down at her empty beer bottle.
Maybe one phone call to her?
Consider it done.
So you know how to reach her?
I have ways, yes. If not, I can always hire a good private investigator. She gave him a playful smirk.
You know, you've met my brothers and my father, but I've never met your family.
My sisters are in Ohio. They never come here, and I haven't come up with a good reason to go there. My parents are in Florida, leading the good life in retirement.
Do you talk to them much?
Hardly ever. When I got drummed out of the Secret Service, well, let's just say they didn't really see a need to support me.
Funny family.
Look who's talking, he said sharply. She pursed her lips and said,
I'm sorry, I'm so screwed up.
It's actually one of your most endearing qualities.
Let's never find out what it would be like not to have each other.
I'm always on your six.
I know.
Sean gazed off, his mouth edging downward.
I didn't die, Sean. I'm still here,
she said, obviously reading his look. But you don't realize how close you came to not being here, he replied, turning his gaze on her.
I actually do know. I could see it in your face when I finally woke up. And don't forget that I've stood over your hospital bed and wondered the very same thing.
He looked away again. I guess it's what we signed up for.
Never doubted that for a second. Now, let's focus on Tyler Wingo.
I'll get my ex on it.
I think I need to be doing something, too.
Michelle, we've been warned off. At least you have.
We have a gun to return, Sean.
So you want to go to their house?
We don't have to be that direct, do we?
He considered this. No? You have an idea?
I think I have an idea,
she replied.
But it'll be better if I go alone.
Chapter 13 Tyler Wingo cut through the water as fast as he could. He was at swim practice at a local aquatic facility that his school used. The facility had multiple pools, but since this one was the largest, the adult members also used it. Tyler touched the tile wall and came up for air. He slipped his goggles off, cleared them of condensation, and put them back on. In the lane next to him, a female swimmer wearing a swim cap and goggles was just about ready to push off. Tyler grinned and timed it so he pushed off at the same time. He was feeling the need to rip through the water like a dolphin. And it didn't hurt that the woman was tall and lean and attractive, at least the glimpse he had gotten of her. Despite all his troubles, he was 16 with hormones about ready to explode, and he suddenly felt the urge to show off. As he cut through the water, he wondered how far ahead of her he would be at the end. He contemplated what he might do when she broke the surface of the water and saw him already there. Could he come up with something clever? In reality, he was terribly shy and would be unlikely to muster the courage to say anything, but still, she would at least see him. Then as he looked to his right, the only thing visible were her long feet. Stunned, he redoubled his efforts, swimming as he never had before. He gave it every ounce of stamina he had, and still she was actually pulling away from him. When he touched the wall and stood, she was leaning on the lane divider rope. Her cap was off, her goggles on her forehead, and she was staring directly at him.
Wow, what a coincidence seeing you here,
said Michelle. You're not even breathing hard, said Tyler, who was gasping. I thought you said you didn't swim, he added in a hurt tone.
I said I preferred keeping above it and dry. I didn't say I couldn't swim.
You're really fast for your age.
I'll take that as a mixed compliment.
Tyler looked around. Where's your partner?
He doesn't like the water nearly as much as I do.
I know it's not a coincidence you're here. What do you want? I thought we had, you know, finished stuff.
I still have your dad's Mauser.
Oh, crap, that's right.
It's in my bag. I can give it to you after I finish up here.
Hey, Tyler! They looked over to see Tyler's coach, an older man in dungarees and a sweatshirt with a whistle around his neck, staring at them. Yeah, coach? Since this is swim practice, do you think you can tear yourself away from the nice lady to actually practice your swimming? Tyler turned red. Okay, coach, sure.
I'll be waiting in the lobby. How do you get home, usually?
A friend.
I'll take you.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea, Tyler. I think you need to think things through on your own, not just do what people are telling you to do. I'll be in the lobby. It's up to you if you go with me or not. I'll give you the Mauser either way. I put it in a canvas bag so no one can see it.
Michelle slipped her goggles back on, turned, and kicked off to do more laps. Admiring her athleticism, Tyler watched her cut through the pool lane, and he dropped back into the water and started swimming to the other side, though his strokes weren't nearly as clean. When he came out of the locker room about an hour later, Michelle was waiting for him in the lobby, a canvas bag in one hand and a knapsack over her shoulder. She had on a knitted cap with her damp hair bundled under it, jeans, a North Face jacket, and a long muffler wrapped around her neck. Tyler's hair was slicked back and his jeans hung low. His sneakers had no laces and he wore his high school hoodie. He crossed the lobby to her. She held up his canvas bag.
Here it is. Are you riding with me or taking your usual way home?
Tyler looked around at the other team members passing by. He nodded to some and knuckle-smacked one boy who lustily eyed Michelle and then grinned at Tyler and mouthed the word, sweet. The boy said in a normal voice, see you tomorrow, Ty. After he passed by, Michelle said,
you go by Ty?
Just as some of the guys, Tyler said absently.
So what's it going to be?
Can we stop for some hot chocolate? The water was freezing. She handed him the canvas bag with the Mauser. At a nearby Starbucks, Michelle bought Tyler a hot chocolate and herself a latte. They got back into her Land Cruiser. Tyler stared around at all the mess on the seat and the floorboard. Michelle scooped the junk off the seat and tossed it into the back. He peered into the back seat where the piles of junk were even more pronounced. Is that a shotgun back there? He asked, his eyes wide.
Yeah, but it's not loaded. I've been meaning to clean my truck out for like 2 years.
It might take you that long, muttered Tyler as he stared at the piles.
I get enough crap from my partner about my untidiness, thank you very much.
So what do you want? He asked.
I think you know.
I don't.
A military policeman was waiting for me outside Panera after we met. He read me the riot act about trying to shake you down for money.
I didn't know about that.
But someone did come and talk to you, right?
Tyler sipped his hot chocolate and didn't answer right away. He stared up at the sky.
Looks like more snow is on the way,
noted Michelle as she glanced over at him. He seemed so conflicted that her empathy for him suddenly swelled. Are my maternal instincts finally kicking in? How scary is that? More miles passed in silence.
We'll be home soon,
prompted Michelle. Tyler kept staring out the window. They told me not to talk to you.
Who is they?
The army.
So guys in uniform?
Tyler glanced at her. They weren't wearing uniforms. They had on suits.
So how do you know they were from the army?
Because they were there to talk about my dad. He was in the army. Who else would they be?
Did they show you some ID?
Yeah, but they flashed them so fast I couldn't see what they said. Besides, I wasn't really focused on that.
Was your stepmom there?
Tyler nodded.
So what else did they tell you?
That you were probably trying to take advantage of me, that you couldn't find out anything they hadn't already told me.
About your dad's death, you mean?
Yes.
And what did you say to that?
I didn't say much.
What else did they say?
That you could cause trouble for us? That it might mess up our getting stuff from the army, you know, like benefits. Michelle sighed, but then looked angry.
So they really laid a guilt trip on you. Talk about taking advantage of someone.
I don't want to mess things up for my dad, Michelle.
Trust me, neither do we. Are you going up to Dover to get your dad's remains?
Tyler shook his head.
Why not?
Because of what else they said.
Which was?
I don't want to talk about it.
Come on, Tyler, you chose to ride home with me. You must want to talk to me.
Another mile went by without either of them breaking the silence. They said there wasn't enough left of my dad to put in a coffin, he finally said. Michelle jerked the wheel, and the truck did a little wobble across the lane before she righted it.
What? I thought he was shot.
He was. Only a mortar hit right at the spot where he had gone down. It sort of blew him to pieces. Now Tyler put his sleeve up to his face and quietly wept into his arm. Michelle pulled the Land Cruiser off onto a side road, put it in park, and handed him some tissues from her console. He took them without looking at her. She wanted to lean over and hold him, but decided that might be unwelcome and more than a little awkward under the circumstances. So she simply sat there, staring straight ahead and watched shimmers of heat vapor lift off the hood of her truck and disappear into the darkness. Thanks. She turned to Tyler and accepted the crumpled pieces of now-wet tissues. She tossed them into the back seat.
Why didn't they tell you that before? Why wait until now?
I don't know.
What did Jean say to all this?
Not much. She just took it all in and then started crying so hard the men in suits got up and left.
Very compassionate of them to drop the hammer and then flee the scene. What did you do?
I went up to my room and locked the door. Michelle reached out an arm and lightly touched him on the shoulder. He glanced over at her. She read apprehension on his features.
Tyler, why were you so determined to hire Sean and me? Your father was dead. Nothing would change that. Any other details would be hard to come by since his death happened in Afghanistan. It's not like Sean and I can fly there and start investigating.
He shrugged but said nothing.
There has to be something, Tyler. You're a smart young man. You don't strike me as the type to just jump into a decision without thinking it through.
When he still said nothing, Michelle asked,
"Will you be driving Kathy to school next year?"
He glanced at her in surprise. "Kathy? How did you know about that?"
"I spoke to her at Panera. She really likes you, and she's worried about you."
"I was thinking about maybe driving her to school. Sometimes," he added.
"I think she'd like that."
Michelle grew quiet and waited. Nothing might come out of the next few seconds. Then again, everything might come out of the next few seconds. She surreptitiously crossed her fingers, wishing for the latter. "The thing is, it was the date the guys gave me."
"What date and what guys?"
"The army guys who came the first night to tell me about my dad."
"Okay. What about the date?"
"He died the day before they came to tell us."
"All right. Sometimes it takes that long to confirm everything. They don't want to get it wrong."
"Yeah, I know that." He stopped talking, but Michelle said nothing. She sensed he was about to drop a bombshell. "See, the thing is, my dad sent me an email." Michelle shot him a glance.
"When did he send you the email?"
"After he was dead." Chapter 14. Sean watched her enter the restaurant. She was thinner and healthier looking than the last time he'd seen her. Her hair and makeup were immaculate. She was dressed in a hip fashion that belied her actual age. The fishnet stockings and stilettos made her long legs even longer and sexier. The skirt was a little too short for Sean's taste, and the neckline revealed a bit too much. Several men at other tables gaped at her, earning the instant wrath of their wives or dates. Sean had to admit his ex was even more put together than when they were married, and still a very lovely woman. On the outside, he rose when she walked over. When she attempted a hug, he instead quickly put out his hand for her to shake. She looked amused and shook it.